In the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So far we read the inspired Word of God. We consider this morning the first verse of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul develops the same theme that we considered last week Sunday morning from Lord's Day 23 in Galatians chapter 2. He develops in the opening chapters of Romans the theme of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. For example, in chapter 3 of Romans, the Apostle Paul illustrates the truth of justification by faith alone by looking at the example of the Old Testament saint Abraham. Abraham believed the promise of God, the promise of the gospel, the promise of the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. And through that faith, Abraham was justified. That was Abraham. What about you? What about me? Paul tells us what we need to know at the end of chapter 4, the last two verses. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The beginning of chapter 5 begins a treatment of the great blessings of that justification, which is for Abraham in the Old Testament, and as we have just read from the end of chapter 4, is for us as well. That opening statement of chapter 5, which is part of our text for the sermon this morning, stands as a summary of everything the Apostle Paul has taught so far in the book of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith. That's a summary of everything that's gone before in this book. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying is this: on the basis of everything that I have just developed in the opening four chapters of this epistle, this is what we can conclude from it. And the great conclusion that the Apostle comes to as it relates to your life and to mine is this: we have peace with God. Beloved, that is the outstanding blessing of justification. That's the thing that the Apostle Paul leads with. Of all of the blessings that he could talk about from our justification by God, he begins with peace. He'll get to other blessings of justification, but he starts with peace. And even within the verse itself, it shouts forth this great truth. Literally, we read in the text, "Therefore, being justified by faith, peace we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He puts it right at the beginning of the phrase, "peace we have with God." That's what we consider this morning prior to partaking of communion. Because when we partake of communion, we are exercising our faith. When we eat that bread and when we drink that wine, we are clinging through that to Jesus Christ. We are believing through that in Jesus Christ. And in hearing the gospel of Romans 5 verse 1 and in partaking of communion as we will do in a few minutes, may God, through His Holy Spirit, give us this great blessing of peace. Let's look at this using as our theme, the blessing of justification. The blessing of justification, we notice in the first place that peace, in the second place that it is through Jesus Christ, and then in the third place that it is by faith. The blessing of justification, peace through Jesus Christ by faith. Peace is the state of mind of knowing that all is well, which results in a certain quietness and a certain calmness in one's soul and spirit. You can compare the concept of peace to a lake that you look at outside. Sometimes when you look at a lake outside and the storm is rolling in and the wind is blowing and you know that the storm is coming, you see that in that lake. You look at that lake and it's distressed. The waves are tossed to and fro. There's a certain turmoil within the lake itself. And that's in contrast to another day when you may look at that lake and it's not a storm rolling in, but there's a certain calmness in the air. There's no wind. And you look out at that lake and it's very peaceful, we say. It's calm. It's quiet. So also with peace in our hearts and in our souls, it's the knowledge that all is well and there's a certain calmness and quietness in your spirit and in your soul. But what I just explained there is only part of the concept of peace, because peace, when you take it to the next step, often relates to relationships. It's relationships among men. And it's in that context that we must have peace. We know that peace has to do with relationships simply from looking at the relationships of countries, for example. How do countries speak about their relationships to one another. They say either we are at war with that other country, there is enmity between those two countries, or a country says, I am at peace with you. It's a good relationship. And when there is peace with another country, when you think about that country, you have a certain quietness, a certain calmness in your mind, because you know that all is well. Peace has to do, especially with relationships among people. We're confronted by the text this morning with the question that each one needs to face, and that is, in what do you find your peace? What is it in your life that gives you this sense and this feeling of knowing that all is well? What things do you have, or what circumstances have to be true in your life in order for you to have a certain calmness of knowing that when you look at your life, all is well? Do you only have that sense of peace and quiet and calmness in your soul and spirit when the money is there, when you're doing well financially, when you know that there is enough money in the bank account and enough money coming in on a regular basis to pay the mortgage and to pay the bills and to pay the school tuition, and at the beginning of that to pay the church budget or to give to the kingdom causes. A bestseller by Dave Ramsey entitled Financial Peace. And I understand why he would use such a title. But is that the only time that you have a certain sense of peace in your heart and soul when financially you are doing well? Or is it this, the only time that you have peace, the only time that you have a sense of calm is when you put into your body a certain substance? And after a long day or after a stressful hour, you know that the only way that I'm going to get through this is if I put something into my body, alcohol or a certain drug, to make me feel good. Or if you're in school, is the only time that you have peace, the only time that you have a certain calmness in your soul and spirit, only time you think everything is well is when you're popular or when you portray yourself in a certain way so that you know that when others look at you or think about you or talk about you, they do that in a certain way and you know that that's taking place. You know you have a certain reputation among everybody else in the school, and that's what gives you this peace in your mind. Or is the only time that you have peace when the doctor gives a good report, when the doctor says that the surgery went well, when the doctor looking into the future says the prognosis is very, very positive, and it's only with those reports that you have peace in your mind? Or is the only time that you have peace, or when you think about it right now, the only time that you will have peace is when God gives you a spouse or when God gives you children? And we could go on and on and on. All of the things or all of the circumstances of our life that we think we need in order to have peace. Beloved, all of that altogether misses the point. Everything I just said there does not get at, in even the slightest way, what is the essence of peace. All of those things that I just described there a moment ago may give the illusion of having peace, but that's exactly what it is. It's an illusion. It's a false pretense that you have peace. It doesn't get to the heart of it. You can have all the money in the world. You could put any substance into your body that you want to. You could have a beautiful wife or husband and children. You could get the best reports from your doctor and in the end, not have true peace. That's because peace, when it comes down to it, is related to one fundamental relationship, and that's what the text highlights as it relates to peace. It highlights the one relationship that really matters in our life. And it's not your relationship to your spouse. It's not your relationship to your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not your relationship to your children. The relationship that matters, in which there is peace, is your relationship to God. Beloved, every single person in this world stands before the God of the book of Romans, the God of the book of Romans chapter 1, where we see the justice and the holiness and the wrath of God. Every single person stands before that living God of heaven and earth. And if you stand before that God who is holy and who is just, and who therefore punishes sin with everlasting punishment, if you stand before that God by yourself and on account of your own merits in your heart and soul, you should be trembling. You should be like that sea tossed to and fro, all together with turmoil in your heart and soul, if you stand before that God by yourself. We don't have souls this morning trembling with fear. And we don't because God has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we have this peace of Romans 5, verse 1. Because Jesus Christ and Him alone takes away that one thing that leads there to be this enmity between God and people, and that is sin. Jesus Christ did that as the one that Isaiah tells us is the Prince of Peace. He did that in accordance with the promise that He even gave while He was on this earth. In John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you." It's through Christ alone that we have peace. Because Christ went through the reality of what this is a picture of. Christ, all of His life long, but especially on that cross, and especially during those 3 hours of darkness, endured the wrath of God for your sins and for your mine. And He did that so that we could have this great blessing of peace. Beloved, every time God looks down upon you, He sees you in Christ. Because it is in Christ alone that we have the perfect satisfaction for those sins. It's in Christ alone that we have the righteousness that we need to stand before the living God and know that His favor shines down upon us and that He loves us and that He will be with us into all eternity. It's Christ alone that provides the way for peace. And beloved, the emphasis of this text is that we have it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul does not say in this text that this is something that you may have had in the past, but you're going to lose it right now. He does not say in the text that this is something that one day that you may have, maybe at the very end of your life, when after a lifetime of going to church, finally, God gives the blessing of peace, maybe at your deathbed. And He certainly does not say this is only something you'll have into eternity in heaven and in the new creation. He says in the present tense, we have peace. And we have it right now. And we will have it every single day of our lives because it is a peace in Jesus Christ. And it's with that confidence, beloved, that we go to the Lord's Supper this morning. Confidence of knowing right now, God looks down upon me in Christ. When He sees me, He sees Christ, His perfect satisfaction, and His righteousness that is imputed to us. The Apostle Paul elsewhere in Philippians chapter 4, chapter 1, describes this peace with those words that we know very well. It is Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul describes that peace as the peace that passes all understanding. And you have to ask the question of why. It's the same peace that's referred to in Romans 5, verse 1. It's the peace that passes all understanding, certainly because of the profound nature of the work of Jesus Christ. We can read about the work of Jesus Christ, and in a certain sense we can understand it. We do understand it, and we believe it by faith. We read about the pictures in the Old Testament of what Christ does. We read about the history in the Gospels of what Jesus Christ did for us. We read the epistles and see what they do in applying what Christ did into the doctrines of the Christian faith. We understand it with our minds, and we believe it by faith. But beloved, in a certain sense, it's beyond understanding. The peace that results from that work of Jesus Christ, so great, so profound, is what Jesus Christ did on that cross. We only scratch the surface of understanding the depth of what He did for us. And that's why an eternity will not exhaust reveling in the work of Jesus Christ for us on the cross. In a certain sense, it passes. It's beyond our full understanding because of the greatness of the work of Christ. But there's another reason, I believe, that it passes our understanding, this peace that we have with God. And it has to do with the fact that we still stand on this earth as sinners. We know that from this past week of self-examination. I'm a sinner, and I know that in the depth of my heart and in my soul. Lord's Day 23 that we looked at last week summarizes this point very, very well. In fact, it's how the answer begins. How art thou righteous before God? Only by a true faith in Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them and still inclined to all evil. That's our consciences right there. We know ourselves to be sinners and we know what that sin means. We know that it's sin against God, worthy of eternal punishment. We know that our consciences accuse us of that. But right alongside that, and this is why it's beyond understanding really when you think about it, right alongside that, we have this. I'm at peace with God. And I know that. And I know when He looks down upon me, He doesn't look at me as one that He's going to cast into eternal hell. But He looks as one at one who He's going to bring into the glory of heaven. But those two things are right there. A conscience accusing me of sin, sin against God. But right alongside of that, a God who looks down on me in love and in mercy. It's beyond understanding even how we can go through this life as sinners, but right alongside that, be at perfect peace with God. And beloved, that is why it is only through faith. Because it is only in Christ that is the perfect satisfaction and righteousness that we need in our standing before God, and therefore it is only in Christ and faith in Christ that we have this peace with God. That's highlighted in the text, and it doesn't come out in the translation that we have, but literally what we read is, therefore being justified out of faith. And the implication is faith in Jesus Christ. Out of faith in Jesus Christ. And the emphasis of that is the fact that all of what we need for our right standing before God is in Christ. It's all in Christ. It's only in Christ. He's the perfect satisfaction and righteousness that we need because we are sinners. It's all in Christ, and therefore faith in Him, out of Him, literally, out of that source, we ourselves as sinners are righteous before God, justified in the eyes of God, and therefore have peace with God. Yes, it is beyond our understanding because of the greatness of Christ and because of the fact that we're still sinners. But right alongside that consciousness of our sin, we go to the source, which is Christ. And through that, we have peace with God. And that's all we need. We know ourselves to be sinners. And we will know that every single day of our lives. You don't need money. You don't need an abundance of it. You can simply scrape through this life. You certainly don't need any substances every single day. You don't even need the positive report from the doctors. You don't need popularity in school. You don't need success. You don't need a husband. You don't need a wife. You don't need children. You need Christ. Only Christ. And when you have Christ, and when by faith you cling to Christ, you have everything. You have peace with God through Him alone. Amen. Our Father, we